Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. And just because I'm led to, I want to read a considerable number of verses this morning from this chapter. Let me read them, and if you would follow along, Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 11. I'll probably stop at verse 26. Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now, at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they would ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they all said unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil have he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all of the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Amen. I'd like to, from this passage, talk about this subject. Jesus died for us. Jesus died for us. And if I was real selfish, I'd say Jesus died for me. He may not have died for you, but he died for me. Do I have any me's? Do I have any me's in the house? Amen. And Jesus died for me. All night long, Thursday night, through the early morning hours of Friday, Jesus had been taken from judgment hall to judgment hall. Arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane by temple guards, having been denied by his disciple Peter three times, betrayed by another disciple, Judas, with a kiss. Jesus was led away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Before this Sanhedrin council, by the proxy of false witnesses and envy, Jesus was declared to be guilty of death, even though he was innocent of all the accusations. the Jewish Sanhedrin council conspired how they could put him to death. They did not have the authority to exercise the death penalty, so they trumped up some charges and sent him to Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate quickly saw through their plot and made a political move and sent Jesus to Herod in an effort to appease him, resulting in their reconciliation. So Jesus was sent to Herod, and Herod tested and tried Jesus and could find nothing to indict him, so he sent him back to Pilate. We hear the voice of Isaiah years before speak, saying he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is bought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? Here Jesus stands before Pilate, accused and condemned to death, but guilty of nothing. What would Pilate do? He knew Jesus was guilty of nothing. But according to verse 15, there was a custom that at feast the governor wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. The Romans, you see, thought of their government as being fair and just, and Pilate would have a difficult time condemning an innocent man. Well, let's approach this thing from this way. Stay with me as I detour just a little bit. There is some debate among scholars, but if true, there is a great uniqueness to this event. If both these men had the same first names, we're talking about Barabbas, and we're talking about Jesus. What uniqueness this would be if both had the first same name. Some Bible scholars believe the full name of Barabbas to be Jesus Barabbas. Now, if this were true, the crowd had to choose between Jesus of Nazareth and Jesus Barabbas. The world would call it luck, but we have come to know it as the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God that Jesus of Nazareth died on the cross that had been prepared for Jesus Barabbas. On the Sabbath, Jesus died and was laying in a tomb, but Barabbas was sleeping in his own bed. I tell you, Jesus died for me. What a wonderful, magnificent truth this sets before us. The central message of the gospel: Christ died for me. Enemies in the house. Well, the first thing that we look at, why did he do it? And I think you have to first consider, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. Barabbas deserved to die, just as we deserve to die. Justice had at last caught up with him. And brothers and sisters, we need to know that we can be doing wrong. We can be living in the darkness, getting away with every dirty, dastardly thing and more. But remember this, sooner or later, justice is going to catch up with you. We, like Barabbas, are worthy of death. And when we are measured against God's plumb line, where will we stand? Where will we stand? Barabbas didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. Why? Because we have misused and neglected so many opportunities. Let us just pause and ask another question here. What's in a name? What's in a name? Jesus Barabbas. Jesus of Nazareth. What's in a name? Well, the name Barabbas means son of a father. in Jewish culture of that day, it could be translated son of a rabbi. So when we put it all together, his name would be Jesus, the son of the rabbi. Now, rabbi means teacher. This means that Barabbas grew up in a home where there was ample teaching concerning the things of God. He no doubt was taught the Ten Commandments, knew the Shema and the first five books of the Bible. He had great opportunity then, through example and teaching, to grow spiritually. But here we have Jesus Barabbas, the son of a rabbi, condemned a murderer. It seems that Barabbas failed to take advantage of the spiritual opportunities he had growing up. And so many people today grow up in spiritual homes or attend church several times a week. They are taught the things of God. They attend youth meetings. They come to Bible study and Sunday school. I don't know, but is this your story? I'm not going to go there, but let me just say, but by the grace of God, your outcome is different. God has blessed you with uplifting opportunities, but it was a different road for Barabbas. Taught the law, he broke the law. Thou shalt not kill, but he was a murderer. He broke man's law and he broke God's law without question, because he was an insurrectionist against the Romans. He broke many laws of the Romans and God. To be guilty of breaking one of the Ten Commandments would be guilty of breaking them all. If anyone needed Jesus, to die in their place, it certainly would have been someone like Barabbas. Now, don't get up on no perk. I know you're not a murderer, but I don't know how many times you've murdered with your tongue. I know you're not a murderer, but I don't know how many times you backstabbed and killed people. I don't know if you're a murderer, but I know some of the words that have spewed out of our mouth. I don't know about being a murderer, but I know how we can act sometimes in the clubs. You ask me how I know, because I've been in the clubs. Most of you all have too. And so if anyone needed Jesus to die in their place, it certainly would have been somebody like me. But God in his predetermined providence, Jesus would take the place of Barabbas, thus making known the gospel of God. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I need to tell you, yes, you can die. You can die for yourself, but dying for yourself will not atone for your sins. That means that your eternal destiny is on shaky grounds. All of us need somebody to die for us. Well, secondly, the death of Christ for us is an act of God's love toward us. Barabbas, now jailed down in a Roman prison, once brazen and bold and disrespected of law, now awaits the end of the law. Death excruciatingly waiting, heart racing with ears intently listening to the movement and the sounds in the prison, maddeningly pondering if the Roman guard was now coming to carry him to the cross. And I believe it is more than reasonable to think that it had never entered into the mind of Barabbas that someone else would die for him. Yes, he was guilty, and he was in a position where he could do nothing to free himself or help himself. He was as good as dead, crucified on a tree. And I need to tell you, if Christ hadn't died for you, you're just as good as dead right now. You are dead. You're just walking, waiting on death to catch up with you. You're dead. Completely unexpectedly, however, word came that he was to go free. Someone else would die in his place. Joy and doubt fought each other as skepticism raced through his being. It is a cruel prank, he may have thought. The soldiers are playing on me. But the news was true. Jesus of Nazareth was going to die in his place. Oh, and I just imagine when the reality became real to Barabbas, Barabbas began to dance and shout and rejoice all over the place. Don't you know that if Barabbas could rejoice and shout all over the place, believers today who know that Jesus died for them ought to shout and jump and rejoice all over the place. Jesus died for us sinners. He did not die for the righteous. No. He died for the sinner. Are you a sinner? You ought to jump up and holler, yes. Yes, I'm a sinner. But thank God Christ died while we were yet sinners. Why? Because of the love of God. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John tells us in that passage that we love so much, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, Christ died for me. I think I'll dance just for a minute. I think I can dance. I think I can shout hallelujah. Praise God. Because Jesus Christ died for me. And I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. Jesus Christ did not die because of any plea from us sinners. No. He didn't die because we cried out to him. Then and now humanity is busily obsessed with rejecting him. He came to his own, John says, and his own rejected him. Jesus came because of love. He died because he loved us. Now, positively put, he wants us to spend eternity with him in the glory of his kingdom. But negatively put, because of his love, he died for us to save us from spending eternity in hell. That's negatively put, but it's real. You know, we like positive stuff today. Got my breakthrough coming. You know, God's gonna bless us. He loves us and he won't send us to hell. He won't. You'll send yourself to hell because of your unbelief. And if you can't accept the fact that you needed somebody to die for you and it was Jesus Christ that died for you, if you can't believe that and then that he rose from the grave, I tell you what, you will spend eternity in hell. Then finally, the death of Christ for us gives us freedom, a freedom that we've never known before. The word came to Barabbas that he was free by custom and the decree of Pilate at the insistence of the mob. Jesus was going to die in his place. And all Barabbas had to do was walk out of the jail, a free man. And there was nothing the Roman soldiers could do. For the Roman law had been satisfied. His debt to society was paid in full. This was not an experience he would quickly leave behind. Surely for the days and the weeks and the rest of his life, he walked softly, avoiding the Roman soldiers and even the Jewish religious leaders, for they knew how he was free and how he escaped death. He may have thought his release was a mistake, an accident, that he would be arrested again. But it was true. He was free, totally free at the expense of another man. Free indeed. If the Son make you free, you are free indeed. Forgiveness is the great gift of God to humanity. It means that God has canceled the entire debt of our sin. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah wrote of this when he said in Isaiah 43, verse 25, "Even I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins." And the psalmist in Psalms 103 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed our transgressions from us." But we must never forget that God is free to cancel our sin debts only because Christ paid it all. Yes, the songwriter said, "Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed me white as snow." Again, here Isaiah the prophet of old, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." I forgot. I need to go back. I tell you, it says this: "Surely he has borne my griefs and carried my sorrows. Yet I did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for Maurice's transgressions. He was bruised for Maurice's iniquities. And the chastisement of Maurice's peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I am healed." Oh, I don't know about you, but I, like a sheep, have gone astray. And I've turned to my own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then Peter in the New Testament says it this way: "Who his own self bare his our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Then the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, because Jesus died for us and paid the price in full for our redemption. There is now no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. This means freedom, freedom from condemnation, freedom from guilt, freedom from sin, freedom from fear. We have these freedoms from because of the death of Christ, but we also have some freedoms too. We are free to live. We are free to celebrate. We are free to rejoice. We are free to love. We are free to give. We are free to be free. We are free to walk in the light. We are free to serve the Lord. We are free to praise our Lord and Savior. We are free to worship him. I think the songwriter had it right when he wrote the words to at Calvary: "Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not that our Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary." I tell you, mercy there was greater, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. I tell you, Christ died for me. If you're one of the means, you ought to say, "He died for me. He died for me." I tell you, if you read the rest of that in the 27th chapter, you'll find after they scourged him, they led him out and they put a cross on his shoulder and they led him up to a hill called Golgotha. He stumbled and fell under the weight of that cross. But it wasn't really his cross. It was the cross that I should have been carrying. It was the cross that you should have been carrying when he was scourged. It should have been you and me being scourged. I tell you, they pressed a crown of thorns on his head. That should have been your head. They took him out onto a hill called Golgotha, and they nailed nails in his hands. They put spikes in his feet. That should have been you. That should have been me, because Christ died for me. They lifted him high. They stretched him wide. They dropped him in the hole until he died. Didn't he die? Anybody here know he died? He died until the sun refused to shine. He died until the earth began to shake. He died. I know he died. If you go on over in Matthew and keep reading, Matthew said that he died. Skip over to the next gospel writer, and Mark said he died. Go on over one more, and Luke said he died. John said he died. I tell you, he died. All right, because Nicodemus and Joseph begged for his dead body. He died until the soldier tested to see if he was dead, and he pierced him in the side, and the soldier said, yes, he's dead, all right. They took him down, and they put him in a borrowed tomb. It was borrowed from Joseph, and he was dead all night Friday. He was dead all day Saturday. He was dead, all right, all night Saturday night. He was dead. He was dead. Dead. I tell you, he was dead until bright early Sunday morning. He got up. God raised him up. Anybody here know God got him up early? It was early. Early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. I'm glad that he got up. I'm glad because he got up. I know I'm justified. I know I'm right with God. Are you right with God? Are you right with him? Do you know you're right with him? Are you glad? Are you glad this morning? You ought to do some dancing like Barabbas. You ought to do some rejoicing like Barabbas, that Christ died for you. He died for you. He died for you to pay the price for your sins and my sins. For you. For you. Doesn't make any difference how old you are. You can be. You can be 3. You can be 5. You can be 12. You can be 13. You can be 15. You needed somebody to die for you. Somebody. Not anybody, but somebody. That somebody was Christ. He died for you. You can be 30, you can be 20, you can be 80, you can be 90, and 110. It doesn't make any difference. He died for you. But thank God that he got up. That's how you know his death meant something. It's because he got up. If you are here and you have not accepted God's offer of salvation through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you need to get that right with God today. You need to get it right today, because I tell you what, whatever you're doing wrong, sooner or later, justice is going to catch up with you. It's going to catch up with you. And so you need to get right with God today, right now. And as the invitation is being rendered, we invite you to come. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is a good day to be saved. Jesus, he's standing at the door of your heart knocking right now. He wants you to open the door of your heart so that he can come in. He'll come in by faith. He'll come in by faith. It's a gift. The grace of God. All you have to do is believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And God says, thou shalt be saved. As the invitation is being rendered, as we stand, if you're here, we invite you to come. If you're here and you're looking for a church home, we invite you to make the Zion Church your church home. Every Christian, every believer needs a church home. Won't you come?
Did it just for me, just for me, just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me. Well, the cross will always represent the love he has for me. When the Lord of glory, heaven sent, gave all on Calvary, he did it just for me. Just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me. Well, the cross, well, the cross. Well, sing, sing. When the Lord of glory, heaven sent, and gave all on Calvary, he did it just for me. Just for me. Jesus came.
Jesus came and did it just for me.
Well, the cross, well, the cross.
Well, the cross will always represent the love God had for me. When the Lord of glory, heaven sent, gave all on Calvary just for me. Just for me.
Maybe somebody here today who need prayer, and somebody may be going through something. Maybe you are anticipating some test results and it has you a little anxious, a little worried. Maybe someone asks you to pray for them and you want to stand in the gap. We invite you to come to the front rows of the church and we'll have prayer with you at this time.